actually going to start a new series. So if you've been here for Vertical for a while, you know we've kind of been in this like limbo land of like not really in a series, and some of you have really panicked about that maybe, and I'm praying for you. May the Lord bless you. But we're going to have a sermon series title to bring peace back to the world, okay? It's all going to be all right. And so we have got a sermon series title, and it's called Body Builders. Body Builders. And you're like, that sounds weird. Like, I got to go sign up for a gym. Like, I've been trying to get out of my Planet Fitness contract for like 4 years already. And it's actually one of our values here as a church. We have actually values at a church. If you haven't looked those up, feel free to. They're online on our website. But Body Builders is one of our values. And it's this idea that we as a church should build one another up, but also build up other churches as well. Man, we never want to be a church that's so self-centered that we're just only worried about what God's doing here. God's so much bigger than just one church. And, you know, he's over the church. And so we want to be body builders. And so we want to explore that. What does that really look like? What does that really mean for us as a church? I want to ask, have any of you guys, you know, this doesn't happen, I guess, maybe as much now with credit cards and things like that. But have any of you guys ever got to the counter to pay for something and you realized, I don't have my wallet. I don't have my purse. Or maybe you thought you brought enough money in, but then all of a sudden the tax hits and you're a little bit short. Have you ever been there before? It is one of the most vulnerable feelings in the world. And of course, it only ever happens when there's people behind you in line, right? And they're looking at you like you don't have enough. And you're like, no, it's here somewhere. You know it's not, but you're like panicking and looking. And yeah, you know. And but, man, if somebody behind you says, oh, I got spare change, you're like, praise Jesus. And they come forward and they cover what you needed. Man, that is a feeling of love right there, is it not? You get excited about that. You're like, thank you that you got some spare change. And that's the title of the message today, spare change. Spare change. We're going to go into Matthew 14. So I encourage you, if you brought your Bible, that is fantastic. If you don't, you can look it up on your Bible app on your phone. It's amazing. You got all kinds of Bible translations on there. Or if you don't have either, we believe so much in the Word of God, we're going to put it up on the screen. So there's like no avoiding it here because we believe it applies to our life. Matthew 14, and thank goodness, y'all know I actually have notes up here. Some of you are like, I didn't know he had notes. I got notes up here, and there's a reason. This Pastor Phil without notes is a dangerous thing. One of the things I want us to do before we get in the message is actually pray for our team for Peru. And so if you're going to Peru, whether you're in Hiawassee, I think Courtney's the one person in Hiawassee today. I want you to come forward, and Hiawassee, I actually want you to, like, to circle around Courtney and pray for her. And so if you're coming to Peru, if you're on our Peru team, come on forward. I actually know there's plenty of you here. Like, I saw you. I've been in the meetings with you guys. I know you're here. So if you're coming down to Peru, come on front. We're going to pray for you guys as a church. So many of you have been generous with your finances or with your prayers or your time to help this team go. And we're going to be heading out to Peru soon. Going to be serving a church down there. The church we're going to is one of two Bible-believing churches in the whole town. And so, man, you talk about a place where you feel like you're not on home field advantage. Like, we're on home field advantage, it feels like, here in the Bible Belt. Like, you got a church on every town. But, man, can you imagine only being one of two churches in North Georgia? You feel isolated real quick. And so we're going down there to serve, which is whatever they need. We're down there to love. We're down there to encourage. Those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, church, yeah, let's give it up. And so if you're online, just reach out your hand. Hiawassee, I hope you've circled around Courtney. And if there is somebody else on the team there, let's circle around them. And church, if you'll just come put your hand out toward this team that's going, you know, there's power when we get together in an agreement and trust that God is going to work beyond anything we could control. And so, Lord, we just pray for this team that's going to Peru. God, we ask that you just move in a mighty way in and through us, that we will take what you're doing in our life and share it with other people. May we be ones who share your love, your grace, your joy. God, that we birth fruits of the Spirit in our lives to share with this team and church that is down there. We ask that the soil will be ready to receive, God, that people are going to get saved, people are going to get baptized. We're going to see a mighty move of God in this place in Peru, God, that the enemy thinks he owns this town but is going to see light push back darkness this coming week in the name of Jesus, God, because we believe you're greater than anything we face in this world. And so, Lord, we protect this team, watch over this team. Any scheme of the enemy, we rebuke in the name of Jesus. that it just falls flat, it fizzles, it doesn't even take off. God, that you show your mighty work and power over this team and through this team. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all be praying for us as we go. You guys are dismissed. You can now go back and fall asleep during my sermon. Praise God. So Matthew 14 is where we're jumping in today, and it starts in verse 13. Matthew 14, verse 13 says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." And maybe one of the questions you've got as you read this is, what is the news? What is the news that Jesus heard that he felt like he needed to go get on a boat and go to a remote area and kind of have some time on his own? And it's okay if you don't read the Bible. That's okay. What happens sometimes in the New Testament is Jesus sometimes would have these moments where he goes to be alone and just pray. And just pray one-on-one. And he's heard this news. And the news that he's heard is that his cousin, John the Baptist, has just been killed. And he loves John the Baptist. They were very close. They were very close, and he's just gotten the news that this person he loves, that he's close to, has been killed. And Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also fully human, and he's experiencing this pain and this hurt. And so he's like, I just want to be alone for a moment and pray. And maybe you've had moments like that in life where you've had deep pain and deep hurt, and you're like, man, I need a moment to pray. And Jesus is just like this. And so he's taking this moment to go be one-on-one with God. And he gets on the boat and he's heading out and he goes to arrive to the remote place he's supposed to be at. And what does he see? Not trees, not open area. He looks out and he sees a huge crowd. A huge crowd. And the verses tell us in the midst of his brokenness, his pain, his hurt, he sees this huge crowd of people rather than a remote area. And he has compassion. He has compassion, and it says, and he healed their sick too. I don't know about you. I read the Bible like it's real, because it is. And I think about this moment. You know, if we're followers of Jesus, we're supposed to follow in his ways, in his teachings, in the way that he lived life. And honestly, when I read this scripture, one of the questions I ask is, would I have the capacity to do that? Would I have the capacity to do that? I just lost someone I really loved and cared about deeply. And would I have the moment as a pastor if I saw a huge crowd and you guys needed time with me? Would I have something inside of me that would birth compassion? Would I have something inside of me that would birth, yes, I'll pray with you, I'll be with you, because if I follow Jesus, that was what he just made the example. And I thought about, man, what kind of relationship with the Lord he must have had to have spare change in that moment. See, he was going to pray. He was going to seek the Lord. And sometimes when we have those hard moments when we seek the Lord and we pray and then the Lord moves and are like, okay, now we're good. But that doesn't happen in this moment. He doesn't have the time for the prayer and then the crowds show up. He goes to pray and the crowds are already there. And so what he gives out was spare change. He already had an overflow ready before this moment ever happens to share with a group of people that have been coming from all over this huge crowd. He's got spare change in this moment. And as we look into this series of bodybuilders, I want us to explore this idea today. If people come to our church, is that what they experience? If they come to our church, do they experience a group of people that, like Jesus, had spare change to give? That God's doing something in our life that it's not just enough for us. We have enough to give out. Watch what happens in this moment. The moment's not done. This gets crazy. Look at this in verse 15. Verse 15 says, "That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place.' And Jesus says, 'I know, that's where I was trying to go to it. It doesn't look very remote anymore though, guys. And it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them. You feed them.' And the disciples are just like us, and their response is, "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. I tell you what, you know, you're like, man, the disciples are so different than me. Sometimes we put Bible characters like they're so different than us. The Bible characters, they could do math just like us. And they looked at a huge crowd, and then they looked at 5 loaves of bread, which some of y'all go through at Longhorns on your own. And they looked at 2 fish. And you know some of those disciples were doing the math, and they're like, man, this is the appetizer, and you want us to feed a huge group of people. You got to be kidding me, Jesus. And here's what I'm telling you, something super spiritual about the disciples. Their math wasn't wrong in the physical. Their math wasn't wrong in the physical. In the physical realm, 5 loaves and 2 fish is not enough to serve a huge group of people. And that's no different than you and I in the physical, on our own. We're not capable of making an impact with huge crowds. There's not enough on our own. Pastor Phil on his own is not enough. You on your own is not enough. But Jesus looks at him and he says, "You feed them. You feed them." Because it's almost like Jesus knows something the rest of us didn't in the moment. Jesus looks at them and says, "You feed them." Because he knows something that we don't know just yet. But he has been teaching all day to this huge crowd of people, but he's got another lesson up his sleeve, because that's just how he rolls. He's got another lesson up his sleeve. Look what happens now in verse 18. He says, "Bring them here. Bring them here. Bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fish here," he said. And then he told the people to sit down on the grass. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up toward heaven and blessed them. And then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. Some of y'all need to underline that. Highlight that. They ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. So the math that wasn't wrong, that said 5 loaves and 2 fish is not enough, Jesus takes it and makes a huge crowd of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They all ate enough. They all ate enough. You want to talk about having spare change to spend? This story is nuts. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, "You feed them." Because Jesus understands something, that when we are connected to the Lord and let the Lord work in and through us, guess what's going to happen? There's always enough. There's always enough. Yeah, we can get excited about that as a church. And man, I think Jesus is just creative like this. It says there's 12 baskets of leftovers, right? He has each disciple, there's 12 disciples, take a basket around to collect the leftovers. The leftovers of the stuff, they're like, there's not enough to feed. And Jesus has each disciple take a basket and have to collect all the leftovers, because everybody ate enough. Everybody ate what they wanted to eat, and there's still enough, where Jesus is like to each disciple that said, "We can't feed them," he says, "Now go pick up the leftovers," because everybody ate enough. Everybody ate enough. And each disciple has to go around and look these people in the eye and say, "Can you please put in your leftovers?" And I think about a disciple, that moment would stick with me the rest of my life. That moment would stick with me as I make eye contact with the people I didn't think we could feed. Make eye contact with the people that said, I don't have enough for these people. And then I make eye contact with them as they put in the leftovers, because there was more than enough. There was more than enough. And Jesus in this moment has so much going on that we can miss it. The first thing is, he's wanting to teach us, man, it's okay when things get hard to want to go pray and seek God and be on your own for a moment. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay in isolation, but wanting to pray is a good thing. He's capable of teaching a huge group of people. He had compassion on them. He heals their sick in the hardest moments. He has compassion for all of that. And then when it comes time to feed everybody, he's got another lesson he can teach his disciples. That if you'll let the Lord work in and through you, there's always enough. There's always enough. And maybe you've come in and you feel completely empty right now. And I want to tell you, if you're trying to do it in your own strength, that is how you're going to feel. But in the kingdom of heaven, there's always enough. There's always enough. There's spare change to spend. And I don't know if you guys know this about Vertical Church. We do things differently from time to time, in case you're wondering, right? Like, you're like, I didn't notice that as I tripped over the tarps in the building today. I didn't know you guys did things differently. There's like, you know, we're in a small coffee shop in Hiawassee, and you're like up to elbows against people you don't know. And you're like, yeah, no, I didn't know there's things different here. Like, this is weird. And you're like, but at least I got free coffee. Praise God. And we do things differently. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes that's really intentional. It's really intentional that we do things differently sometimes. And I know it catches people off guard. Usually people kind of find us a little bit weird, especially if they've grown up in church. Maybe you've grown up in church and some of the things we do is just kind of really odd to you. It's not what you're used to. And I want to tell you point blank as pastor, that's intentional sometimes. Because maybe you're newer here, or maybe you grew up in the church and you walked away from church. Sometimes people associate pain with the church. Sometimes people associate pain with people who call themselves Christians because of how they were treated or what they went through. And my heart as a pastor is if you're going to come interact with our church, I actually don't want walls to go up. I want walls to come down. Because I've got a belief, and I think you guys have a belief too, is actually if people can come in and experience the love of God, it's still capable of changing people's lives. It's still capable of changing people's lives. Amen. Yeah, we got somebody clapping down on the left side. Let's go. But sometimes that means we have to maybe give up a tradition that we've had, or maybe we have to, as a church, give up something that makes us really comfortable in order for walls to come down. You know, what's been difficult about the Christian faith for a while is, I don't know if you guys know this about us, is we have a reputation for doing the opposite. We have a reputation as Christians for doing the opposite. Our reputation is actually we do throw up walls between us and people. Like if we can just get real for a moment, like people who are wrestling with homosexuality, they can go ahead and tell you one of the people who are most against them. It's us. Like people who are wrestling with being transgender, like they can go ahead and tell you who they think has the walls up against them. It's us. People who have had abortions can probably tell you who are the people who are most against them. It's us. And we look around a world who's doing all kinds of crazy things that we would go, that's not God honoring, and we get confused. And then, after we've built the walls and we've left the people outside the walls and they start doing non-Christian things, it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. So we kind of peer over the fence, like, you know, Home Improvement, like peer over the fence, our walls, like looking at the people. Look at the way they live their life. Can I tell you why we should not be surprised? Is if we build walls between us and all these groups of people, and the only voice they have in their life is the enemy, why are we surprised that they listen to the enemy? Why are we surprised by that? Like, in all honesty, if I can just be honest, and I will be, if you've been at Vertical, you're like, he says that phrase, but he's just going to be honest every time. Every time he is. If we really believe as Christians that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one is coming to the Father except through him, like if we believe that, I believe that. And if we believe that Jesus Christ, in John chapter 3, it says, for God so loved the world, not the perfect world, not the moral world, not the people who figured it out how to be good enough kind of world. He said, for God so loved the world. And all of our brokenness. Romans tells us that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then in the next verse it says, but Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Like if we as Christians really believe those verses, we really believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but we'll let the enemy come in, because that's who's going to tell you to do it, by the way. The enemy's going to come in and try to tell you to throw up walls against people. And you may already have the Holy Spirit kind of talking, and you're like, nope, don't like this. Don't like this. I kind of want to hold on to my grudge or my wall against people who are wrestling with homosexuality, or I got my wall up against young people, or I've got my walls up against people who are older than me, or I got my walls up against anybody. The enemy comes in and he just tries to get walls up everywhere. He's like, man, I just want you to build like a corn maze between you and people. Because you know what he knows? The love of God still changes people. But if the people who know about the love of God don't interact with the people who don't, he's winning. And so here's the thing, though. If you realize you've got a wall up against a group of people, here's how that's going to play out in your life. One of two things is technically the truth you believe at this point. One of two things. And some of you are like, I don't want to write this down. I'm not going to make you. We're not a church who forces you to do things, but I'm going to be honest. The first thing is, if you've got a wall up against a group of people, you don't believe the love of God truly could change them. If you've got a wall up against a group of people, you genuinely don't believe the love of God could change people. But there's a second point, and this one is the one that really should pierce to our heart. If we really believe Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one is coming to the Father except through him. The second thing is, if you got walls up against people, you don't want the love of God to change them. And I'm going to tell you, the people who are on the other side of our walls, that's what they think about us. You don't want the love. You talk about the love of God, but you don't want the love of God to change me. And I'm going to tell you, it's really disingenuous to throw our spare change over a wall to people. Like, our spare change spiritually should be like Galatians 5, because that's all I ever talk about, like Pastor David said last week. If we have love and joy and peace and kindness all birthing in our life, and we're following it and we're sharing it with our other Christians that are on the inside of our walls, right? We're comfortable with the other people who know how to act a certain way and know how to talk a certain way. We're comfortable with this group of people. They're inside our walls. We'll share the love of joy and the peace and the kindness with them. But then we see the group of people that we're willing to put outside the walls, and we're like, oh, we probably should do something, and you start trying to throw spare change over the wall to them. Oh, here's some love, here's some joy, here's some peace, and, you know, we got to hope we're athletes to get it over the wall. I can tell you, people who feel judged by the church are not stupid. People who are judged by the church are not stupid. It's really disingenuous for us to try to throw love and joy and peace and kindness over a wall we built between them. And if I tell you, I wonder sometimes if we've built walls between us and groups of people because we're scared they're going to get in. We're scared they're going to get in. But you know who's really the one telling us to build all these walls? He's not scared about people who wrestle with sins getting in. The enemy who tells us to build all these walls is scared about the love going out and changing people's lives. But he'll come in and whisper, oh, look at those people. Look at those people. Look at what they're doing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, the way they sin. Look at what they're doing. I can tell you where you hear these voices the most, by the way. The news. In case you're wondering, the news is a business, and they need to sell fear. They need to sell walls between groups of people. I don't know if you know this, CNN's whole business model is to get you to hate people who vote Republican. I don't know if you know this, but Fox News' business plan is to get you to hate people who vote Democrat. And if you're feeding yourself that for hours and hours and hours a day, what's going to happen is eventually some wall is going to go up. It's mission accomplished. But if we get our news from the Word of God, the Word of God says radical things like, hey, you're wrestling with homosexuality, guess what? The love of God can change your life. The Word of God says, hey, are you struggling with gender identity? The good news is the love of God can change your life. Have you had an abortion or abortions in your past? There's good news. The love of God can change your life. The Bible has no room for walls against groups of people. We talked a couple weeks ago about bringing in the rapscallions, right? Jesus was running around, and all the religious people were furious with him. They said, Jesus, you hang out with people we call scum. We call them sinners. And Jesus says, I call them my followers. See, the way Jesus looks at people is a different identity than what religion tries to put on people. And man, as a church, if we genuinely believe what the Bible teaches and that we should birth fruit like love and joy and peace and kindness, and we're birthing these things and we're following Jesus, there should be an overflow. Oh, there should be an overflow. See, when we get to church, one of the temptations with American Christianity and a consumer mindset is when you come to church, it's what am I going to receive today? What am I going to receive today? And I got good news. God does want to pour himself out. I got really good news. If you come in with a posture, I want to receive, that's good. But you're never going to mature ever with that mindset. If you want to mature, God's going to birth something in your life, love and joy and peace and kindness. And it's going to get to the point where you got so much, you're like, I want to give it to somebody. Man, when I come to Sunday, I'm so excited. God, you've done so much in my life. I want to give you love and joy and peace. The things you're pouring out, God, I want to give them back. I don't want to just come receive. I want to pour out. Why is worship so important? To celebrate, to focus, to praise God. It's pouring out. It's not just to receive. Oh, we didn't sing the newest worship song that I wanted. I can't receive today. I didn't get the hymn. I don't know that Caroline's young. I don't know if she knows the hymns. I can't receive today. And we bounce around from church to church to church. God, why won't you let me receive? You want to find a dying church. It's just a group of people who don't ever give out, but they just want to receive. You want to find a healthy church. It's people who show up and they go, oh, I got love to give. I got peace to give. I got joy to give. Come on in. I got spare change. People, when you come in, did some of y'all get greeted today out in Hiawassee? You got a parking and greeting team. Did you guys come in today? You got people in the parking lot. You got greeters. You're like, I didn't even get to the tarps before I got welcomed. Why? Because we got spare change. We don't want you to come in and only go, I just need to receive something. Here, have some love. Have some joy. Have some peace. If that's not enough, we'll give you coffee and donuts and then love on you some more. Got to wake you up a little bit to receive. Praise God. As a worship team, why do we practice? Why do we pray? Why do we seek God during the week? So that we can pour out to the Lord and pour out. Why do I pray and work through the sermon? I'm going, Holy Spirit, lead and guide me. Because guess what? Pastor Phil has changed zero lives on his own and will change zero lives on his own. But Pastor Phil, who will submit to Holy Spirit, can see God do something. Man, as a church, we should go, Lord, help me to have spare change. Help me to have spare change. Man, we should have so much spare change as a church. People come in, they pick up a quarter from the parking and welcoming team. They pick up a quarter from the coffee bar. They pick up a quarter from the worship team. They pick up a quarter from the sermon. And before you know it, you got a McDouble after the service. Praise God. You're like, this is nice. I like spare change. And man, as a church, that's who we want to be as a bodybuilder. As a bodybuilder, we should be growing in the Lord because the Lord has shown us, you feed them. You feed them. You feed them. He wasn't looking, disciples, get out the way. Get out the way, you peasants. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, you feed them. You feed them. I'm going to work in and through you. You feed them. And as a church, do we come with that mentality? People who come into the doors here, I want to give them love. I want to give them joy. I want to give them peace. I believe the Lord can change their life. But I'll tell you, you come in, and if we are doing what we're supposed to do as a church, If we're actually doing that, if we're accomplishing that, I believe we are. And we got a pancake breakfast this morning, Hiawassee Yoga Club. We celebrated our bodybuilders today. Praise God for you guys. Yeah, let's give it up for people who serve at this church. Thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of you guys. But see, the temptation is if you come, and you may like that. There's a verse that says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. And some of you are like, I come to Vertical, I taste and see the Lord is good. Praise God. If not, it may just be the donuts, but praise God. But the temptation is, watch this. You come to church and they pour out and they give out the overflow. Do you think any of these people who got fed by Jesus tried to show up for lunch again the next day? They tried to show up and say, Jesus, feed me again. Feed me again. And the temptation in church is you get around people who are going to pour out and they're going to love and they're going to give. And the temptation is, I have to get that from other people. I've got to get it from other people. And God says, no, I'll grow it in your life. I'll grow it in your life. The power of God is I can grow love, joy, peace, and kindness in your life. You don't need to live off the overflow from Pastor Phil. You don't need to live off the overflow of our parking team or welcome team or worship team or our children's ministry or your community group leader. You're not designed to live off my overflow. Jesus says, I'm so powerful, I can send Holy Spirit who can grow the exact same things that you've been getting from other Christians in your life. And man, you want to talk about a growing church, it's when the people who come in all believe, God can do that in my life. God can grow it in my life, and I can give it out. And my question is that what you're doing? There's a lot of people in this church who are, and I'm proud of you. I love you. But I want to tell you, we don't want you just to live off our overflow. That's not God's best for you. God's got a plan for your life that says, I'm going to grow that in your life if you'll let me. But that doesn't happen if we have walls up against people. I'm just going to be honest. Like, what happens when someone walks in with like a blue mohawk and got like 12 piercings that we can at least count? We're like, I don't know about that. I don't know if we're ready for that. And I'm like, the love of God's ready for that. We walk in and we're a small town and we hear rumors. We know how some people are living. And they walk in. You start pushing your coffee and donuts away from them. Cannot let them touch those things. Got some walls up against people. You know who's ready for the love of God is that person. Love of God can change that person's life. Like, as a church, we should have an overflow and spare change to spend, but it's not just for the people who live moral enough. You know, Jesus didn't go through that huge crowd and say, okay, who is living a good enough life? May you receive my Golden Corral buffet. He looked at the whole crowd and everybody ate. Everybody ate. The people who were wrestling with all kinds of stuff, Jesus said, I'll show you who I am. And some of those people in the huge crowd, they didn't end up following Jesus. That's just how it went. But he still offered his love to them. See, the thing is, a lot of us know John 3:16. A lot of us know John 3:17. For God so loved the world, and he loves us. And that's what the Bible tells us, is God loves the whole world and offers a relationship with every last person. You know what's heartbreaking about John chapter 3? Is the ending. The ending of John chapter 3 tells us, but the world loved darkness. The world loved darkness. And the reality is, people do love darkness. People do love darkness. They love their sin. And not everyone's going to choose to come follow Jesus. But that's not our choice to make for them. That's not our choice to make for them. Our choice is to offer love, joy, peace, kindness for them to taste and see the Lord is good, because the love of God does change people. You don't have to take it personally if someone says, no, I want to love my sin. I can't make that choice for you. I can't make that choice for you, but I can show you what God's doing in my life and how he's changed my life. And I'm a walking testimony of the grace of God can change somebody's life. And I want to offer that to other people. Not everyone's going to accept, but I want to be someone who's got spare change to spend. I don't want to hold that back from people. The worship team wants to come back on up. We're going to close out. and as we start off a bodybuilder series, we really can't go any further as a church if we let the enemy come work in our life and put up walls against groups of people. And maybe you come in to Hiawassee or online or here, and Holy Spirit's like, you know you've got a wall up against that group of people. I don't know who it is. I mean, the enemy, he'll get you to put up a wall against the people who work at, like, Pizza Hut because you work at Domino's. Like, that dude loves throwing up walls. He just wants you to be divided against other people. So I don't know who your wall is up against. I mean, there's some stereotypes about us as a Christian church in America who we've got walls up, but that doesn't mean that's you. I mean, you could have walls up against the people who live in the neighborhood next to you because you're like, I hate those people. They don't have an HOA. Look at what's happened. Bethany, this is why we have HOAs. Look at them. Peasants. Man, if Holy Spirit is moving in your life and has revealed how the enemy has come in and helped build a wall between you and somebody else today, but you know the Lord, by his love, is saying, hey, that's not of me. That's keeping you from being a bodybuilder. That's keeping you from maybe being able to love some people I want to bring to this church. That's keeping you from pouring out the things I'm growing in your life to share with other people. And I'm just going to ask a real basic question. If you know the Lord is moving in your life and saying you've built some walls against some people, and it's time to tear down the walls, because that's what a bodybuilder should do nowadays. A bodybuilder should go tear down walls. We as a church should constantly be in the habit, if we ever see a wall between us and a group of people, tear that sucker down. That's what a bodybuilder should do, is constantly looking to make sure walls have not come up so that people can experience the love of God. That's the one hope for their life. And if you know the Lord's work in your life, that you built walls and you're in Hiawassee, come on forward, man. I know you guys got no room over there. Push the chairs back in the first row. If that's you, come forward. If you're here in the building and you know the Lord's convicting your heart and saying, I've allowed the enemy to sell me a lie, to build walls against a group of people, come forward. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you as a church. We're going to be here for you. If that's you, come forward. Be a bodybuilder. Set the tone. Anybody else going to join Miss Donna? Come on, Bobby. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we have an ability nowadays to still humble ourselves and receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, won't you come and birth new things in our life? Love for people we may not understand. Love for people we don't fully get. But help us to understand your love, Jesus, can change any person's life. And so, Lord, we ask that we won't be a group of people who builds walls. Make us continually be pure before you, Lord, that we don't build walls between us and other people. We don't have to understand all the choices people make, but we need to always work from a position that, God, your love is available. Your grace is available, and it can change any life today. So, Holy Spirit, may we never be too proud to humble ourselves before you. May we always understand your grace is available. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you guys, if you're in Hiawassee or you're up front, to stay here. I'm going to ask you to stay here. We got one more part. I'm going to ask you to turn around and look at the church. I know, Miss Donna, a group of people you've just committed to love, a group of people you just committed to pour yourself out for, to make sure that walls don't come up. I'm going to ask a second group of people, and you know the Lord's working in your life today. Maybe the way you've lived your life has kind of strayed. You gave your life to Jesus a while ago, but you know you've made some decisions that don't line up with what it's supposed to be to follow Jesus, and today's your day to come back. You don't want any walls up between you and Jesus anymore. Maybe you want to get baptized, or maybe today for the first time you want to give your life to Jesus. Come on, Eddie. Yeah. I want to ask. Yeah, come on. Come on, be a bodybuilder, Eddie. These four people, man, they want to love you. You know, God's changed their life. And if that's you, you want Jesus to change your life, I want you to come forward. And I want you to meet and be able to be hugged and embraced by a group of people who just said, I want Jesus to change my life continually too. And you know you've got walls up against Jesus, and I got great news. There's people down front ready to tear those down with you. It's not supposed to be on your own. So if that's you in Hiawassee, come on forward. If that's you in the building and you're saying, it's time. I don't want walls between me and Jesus. I ask you to come forward and be greeted by people who want to love you and care about you. If that's you today, you come on forward. Come on, Tim. Let's go. Love you, man. So glad you're here today. Anybody else want to come down? I don't want walls up between me and Jesus or other people. I know. Come on. Anybody else? You know, you've had some walls up against Jesus, and it's time for those to come down. What's up? Anybody else? Your heart racing, heart pounding. Amen. Yeah, I just sense like there's one more. And like, I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to be the pastor that draws this moment out forever. But if that's you, like, this moment's here for you. Come on, my brother. Yeah. Amen. Any more? Come on, Danny. proud of y'all. Way to step up. Way to come out. And may the Lord continually work in your life to break down walls. Oh, come on. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. You know what I want to tell you, though, if you're online or in your Hiawassee or here, if you need to come forward, I don't want you to believe the love of God's also been pulled back. Yeah, the love of God's available on the way home. You know, the love of God's available on Tuesday night. The love of God is available when you're ready to cry out. And so, Lord, I pray over this group of people who online, Hiawassee here, God, may you pour out your love on us. May we be people who follow you, Lord. May we continually make sure every single day that you are the Lord of our life, that we crucify our flesh, turn from our ways and follow you, God, trusting in your ways and not our ways. If the enemy's come and built things up in our heart and our mind, God, may you remove those things. Help us by the power of your word and your love to renew our mind, to transform our hearts, God, daily. That power comes from you and not ourselves. May we birth new fruit of love and joy and peace and kindness and self-discipline, God, to be closer to you, Jesus, to follow in your footsteps. May we be people who lay down our lives for your honor and your glory, Lord. May we be a church who encourages one another and loves one another and always has spare change to give. May vertical be used for your honor and your glory, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love y'all. We're just going to close out this time with one more worship song. You can stay seated and just pray and just seek the Lord. You can stand up and worship the Lord, or prayer team, if you guys want to come to the side over here by the baptistry, if you want prayer for anything that's going on in your life, maybe you're praying for someone that you're just like, they're far from the Lord and it breaks my heart. Will you just pray with me? Pray with me. It breaks my heart where they're at. They'd love to pray with you. I'll be over on this side too. We'll have prayer leaders in Hiawassee. Let's just close out spending a little more time focusing in on Jesus.